This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is 11 minutes to the top of the hour, and I know our next guest has got to be in a consultation in a few minutes' time, but we always appreciate her input on the program. And what sparked a conversation with her now is a thread I'm about to read you portions of from Xoxeka Mfundisi, who is a neurosurgeon. You read in her Twitter bio, also says mommy neurosurgeon. And this is what she tweeted, which really caught the team's eye the other day. I've told you about a hospital on my doorstep where I've been denied admitting rights despite the fact that they need a neurosurgeon. I have also told you that as black specialists, especially those of us who are known to be vocal against discrimination, we are denied practice opportunities in high LSM places. I've also told you that our white colleagues who qualify after us are more than likely to secure practices in these high LSM communities. But some hospital groups will give black specialists practice opportunities in Pof Adar only. Xoxeka, good morning to you and welcome. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for being a friend of the radio.
Good morning, Iman. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for amplifying my story.
Right. So just maybe share with our listeners why this is so important. And I saw on your Twitter thread, there were so many responses by other healthcare professionals and your colleagues affirming what you had said. So the problem seems bigger than just one anecdote from a black professional.
Look, Iman, the state in which we find our world, we must leave it a little bit better. And yes, I've been denied opportunities at the time when I was actively looking, immediately after qualifying, looking for a private practice. But the next black female neurosurgeons, and maybe just general black neurosurgeons, or any other black specialist, must not have the same experiences that I've had, which I am convinced are purely based on discrimination. So, you know, I qualified at college in 2014, and then 2015 I finished my master's and I was registered with the council. And, you know, what sparked my tweet actually was the response given by MediClinic to the story of Dr. Voltaire Basson, who is having admitting rights in one of their hospitals, where they say that Dr. Voltaire Basson is a duly registered professional with the HPCSA, which is our regulatory body, and therefore they have no right to deny him admitting rights in that hospital. Well, I thought that's actually a very nice principle, but if this principle then can apply to all of us, all South Africans and all actually specialists who are practicing within this country who are looking for opportunities in their hospitals, if they actually can apply this same principle, then we won't experience these things that we're experiencing. The hospital I refer to, I knocked on their doors as the hospital was being built. And I know other black specialists who were also knocking on the doors. One other was actually a head of department of a surgical department in Pretoria. Her trainees, people that she trained and they qualified through her hands, got spaces way before she did. Eventually, after knocking and knocking and knocking, she eventually got space in that hospital. But I eventually gave up around 2016, and then I got a practice, which is currently where I'm working, which is a black-owned hospital group. But this problem is rife. And at that time when I was experiencing, I thought I was the only one. You know, until I spoke to a few colleagues, one other colleague even told me that he had to send 18 references, 1-8 references, to actually get space in a hospital that needed that kind of specialist. And it is also more likely for us to get a space in these three big groups if there is a black hospital manager. But after that, there's usually hell to pay for that hospital manager who makes the space for us.
Dr. Xoxeka, you're speaking to Faith now. I mean, as you're detailing your story, it's just looking at where we've come as a country, one would say that we still have so far to go, so much further to go. How do you guys deal with is there a pay gap even that exists between black doctors and white doctors? Are you aware that maybe even white doctors get paid more than black doctors, even with the same qualifications? Is that also a reality that you face?
So, Faith, we are self-employed, and for example, when a patient comes to my room, I will bill them according to the rates that I use, which I would have informed the patient about beforehand. Many colleagues generally will bill around 300-400%. I know of a colleague who told me of their own story, apart from my own, where they billed, where they quoted a patient who was being brought in by a private insurer, which is a South African-based company, which, by the way, I'm sure the South African laws then must apply of non-discrimination. This colleague quoted around 300%. a colleague of a different hue quoted around 400%. That patient ended up going to the colleague who quoted 400%, even though this colleague was actually approached first. The same thing when it comes to contracting. Medical aides also contract us as specialists. When I still went behind the ear, I thought that these contracts are actually just cast in stone and you just have to sign or decline it. But one colleague told me that actually, no, they negotiated a very good contract and good percentages for themselves. And like, well, I was not given that opportunity. And when I actually asked to negotiate, I was told this is actually out of the question. I must just take it or, it's a take it or leave it. So effectively, we will be paid less than our colleagues who are white, and also, of course, as women, we then are faced with being black women as well, who are also surgeons. So it definitely is an inconsistency in how we get paid and also in how we get contracted by medical aid.
Yeah, there is definitely that inconsistency, as you've attested to, and others that I saw at least are responding there. What can you do about it? I'm not sure. I know the HSPCA deals with complaints and around the registrations and debarring of hospitals of doctors and making determinations on whether they lose their licenses or not. But in the case that you describe, where do you go to for help?
Nowhere. You have nowhere to go. You rely on the mercy and the goodwill of the big groups to actually do the right thing. So some colleagues, of course, would have escalated their issues right up to the CEOs of these big groups, of these big three, and then got a favorable response. Others have actually gone to court, you know, and then would actually get some relief. But, you know, it's a fight that you have to then decide, do you really want to fight that hard, you know, to be in a space where you still rely on other colleagues who are mostly white to refer patients to you. And sometimes you just shrug your shoulders and keep looking and move elsewhere. The bottom line, Iman, is that your work will be known at some point. Our patients come to us mostly by word of mouth. And patients would come. And you know, some of these groups will say, no, but white patients don't want to go to black specialists. That is a lie. White patients do not necessarily care for the color of their specialist. Patients come to me, my patient is mixed, it's black and white patients. And these patients are not coming under some impression that I'm non-black. They know my name is Totka Mfundis. I mean, like, that's pretty obvious. So it is not true also that patients are going to choose us by race. Of course, we'll be subjected to the usual racism, even as specialists, but patients will not move their business away from that hospital purely because they've got black specialists.
Now, I know that we have to let you go, doctor, but before we do, so you were clearly not even surprised or even, you know, completely shocked at when the report came out on medical aid schemes. I'm sure you must have said, about time somebody puts a light on this thing.
You know, it was probably one of the best things that has ever happened since I have been practicing as a medical practitioner, because at least for once, someone has listened. Someone has listened and someone took seriously the complaints of these doctors. The report, of course, focuses a lot on general practitioners, dietitians, physiotherapists, and psychologists. But these are people that we work with. And literally, if you are referring to a black physiotherapist, you have to write 10,000 motivations for these medical schemes, particularly the top two, which have been cited to be quite discriminatory. So these practices are not, you know, this report is not surprising at all, but we're actually very excited that perhaps something might just shift. You know, we're actually hoping that something will shift.
I know you've got 2 minutes to your next consult, Dr. Trotreka Mfundisi, and we're not about to play with your money, mama. So we're going to let you go just to catch your breath. But thank you so much for sharing frankly. And I know that sharing frankly comes, you know, with its own punishment. People are disadvantaged later on for speaking out. And we've heard this also with the GEM saga. With the interim report saga around medical aid schemes. So we applaud your frankness and your availability this morning. Go well and be safe.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.